Jerry Bader Show 920. I'm sorry, I was just waiting to see where that was going. Apparently nowhere, huh? I clearly have to hijack the Christmas bumper issue here. I just do. I don't know if I'm going to have any spare time this weekend. You think I'm kidding about this. Yeah, I know who to complain to, and I just might. I just may have to impose myself on the situation. The way certain elected officials do, just impose themselves on a situation. I just have to mention this. We'll get to other topics here in a moment. But Jason had the same reaction I did. And I kind of warned Jason, and I teased this. I had a regular interview with Mike McCarthy, and I don't hide this, by the way. I do that interview about 6:30 in the morning, and then we replay it. I don't pretend it's live. I always say that we do it earlier. And I asked Mike about Aaron Rodgers, and I said, look, I know this is the question you're tired of answering. I don't blame him for that. But at what point are you going to make a decision? If you missed the interview a few minutes ago, what he said is, Aaron has played here a long time, and I owe it to him. Oh, how exactly did he say that? You know, I owe it to him to take, basically, Jason, I don't want to misquote him. The coach, where he said, I owe it to Aaron, basically what he meant is to wait as long as he possibly can to make the decision before excluding him, right? Wasn't that the essence of what he meant? That's not what he said word for word. I really found that surprising. I still feel like this is a situation where if the player wants to go in and they can get medically clear, it still feels to me like they're pushing it. It's going to be very cold at Lambeau. He hasn't played. You have a team that's not playing for anything, so therefore has nothing to lose. I know. I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen his records. Here's all I'll say. It doesn't sound like Mike McCarthy to me. You're not. Look, I know if they sweep and Detroit loses two, they could win the division. That is such a reach. And when it's really a reach. And when you look around the NFC, come on. Seattle? Carolina? Still New Orleans? And even really, still San Francisco? I think Dallas is a pretender. I think those are really the teams in the NFC right now. I was surprised by that. Oh, by the way, before I get to anything else, I've received several texts. And remember, you can text the show anytime you want, 79489. They're telling me to stop taking life so seriously. They're talking about the Ron Burgundy thing. Stop taking life so seriously. Have a little fun, Jerry. I'm all about having fun. And they said that, it said Dodge. I think it's actually Ram. Didn't he advertise for the Ram brand, or was that Dodge? Dodge said, well, here's what the text said. We'll just say it's Dodge. He said, Dodge sales are up since Ron Burgundy has been advertising for them. Ron Burgundy hasn't been advertising for them. Will Ferrell has. It's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with a fictional character in a real newscast. I am still surprised that a commercial TV station that has to worry about its credibility did that. Labeling his book as nonfiction and the Bible as fiction, I have a problem with that. John Stewart is at least a real person. He's got a persona, but he's not John Stewart and Clive Binghamton. I mean, because here's the difference, Jason. You don't know how much of that really is John Stewart. He's cagey that way. He is. This is purely a fictional character in Ron Burgundy. I know what you're saying. I just don't think it's the same thing. I really don't. Jason says it's just a way to act stupid. Well, all right. Perhaps I am taking it a bit too seriously. I stand, though, by the Costco and ripping the TV station for putting him on. All right, as you know, Nelson Mandela has passed away at the age of 95. I'm going to share an email that I received on the death of Nelson Mandela. And I'm going to respond to it vis-a-vis a piece at the National Review Online. Dear Jerry, I'm going to tell you that this is a very blunt email. I'll also tell you I don't agree with it, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. Dear Jerry, I'm about to puke over the garbage all over TV about how great this hateful, murdering, evil man, Nelson Mandela, was made out to be a saint. Mandela was a member of the South African Communist Party. He co-founded Umkhonto Wesizwe, a terrorist organization that killed civilians, including children. Fast food outlets and supermarkets were favored targets. In addition to terrorist bombings, the military wing of the African National Congress tortured and executed suspected government agents. I watched the video of him singing to kill the whites. His wife Winnie was famous for neckties, putting a tire with gas in it, placing it over an opponent's head and lighting it. What the hell is the matter with the media? They'll probably have Castro made out to be Gandhi. Here's a link with a lot of the real life of Mandela. Thanks for your hard work. Please read the article. Okay. Here's the first thing you have to know. None of what he just said is false. It's true. As far as it goes. This is what's important for conservatives who think the way he does. Nelson Mandela, RIP, by DeRoy Murdoch in the National Review Online. My friend James Desidius once asked me very directly, "Are you ever wrong?" It was not asked with bile, but very straightforwardly, as if asking if I ever visited Spain. I told James that if he referred to my writing, speaking, and political activism, I've made many bad calls and misjudgments. I can look forward to a brand new year of them in just 28 days. In one particular case, however, I really blew one thing very, very, very badly, but I was not alone. Like many other anti-communists and cold warriors, I feared that releasing Nelson Mandela from jail, especially amid the collapse of South Africa's apartheid government, would create a Cuba on the Cape of Good Hope at best and an African Cambodia at worst. After all, Mandela had spent 27 years locked up in Robben Island prison due to his leadership of the African National Congress. The ANC was a violent pro-communist organization. By the guiding light of Ronald Wilson Reagan, many young conservatives like me spent much of the 1980s fighting Marxism-Leninism from the classrooms of radical campuses to the battlefields of Grenada, Nicaragua, and El Salvador, both overtly and covertly. Having seen communists terrorize nations around the world while the Berlin Wall still stood, Mandela looked like one more butcher waiting to take his place on the 20th century's blood-soaked stage. The example of the Ayatollah Khomeini also was fresh in our minds. He went swiftly from exile in Paris to edicts in Tehran and quickly turned Iran into a vicious and bloodthirsty dictatorship at the vanguard of militant Islam. Nelson Mandela was just another Fidel Castro or Pol Pot, itching to slip from behind bars, savage his country, and surf atop the bones of his victims. Wrong! He writes, all caps, bold, with an exclamation point. I will leave it there. And I will pick this up in 5 minutes and explain how right DeRoy Murdoch is when he says wrong. It's 9:30.
Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybatershow.com.